This is Matt Webb. Community radio in your city.
Cambridge 105. So it is a fraction after 5:30 now, and I'm pleased to welcome to Cambridge 105 Debs from Tom's Trust. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
So Tom's Trust is going to be Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month for April. That must be something you're very proud of.
Yeah, we are. We're very excited about that and very honoured. So thank you very much for letting us be that.
So tell us about Tom's Trust for people who aren't familiar with the charity.
Tom's Trust is a charity that's dedicated to raising funds for children with brain tumours. It was set up in 2011. We lost our son Tom, he was 9 years old, in 2010, and decided that that was the only way forward. As parents, we had an education we didn't want, and we realised what was missing, and that was clinical psychology. So we set out to provide clinical psychologists for children with brain tumours. It's a very specialist area. It's under-recognised, underfunded, and now, as a result of our work, there are two clinical psychologists working at Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge dedicated to this group of children in a very unique way, actually. We partnered up with two other charities, and they work with other therapists, so they're working within the UK's first rehab service ever dedicated to this group of children. So we're very proud of what we've done in quite a short period of time. So this is just the start.
That's very impressive, and because it's such a niche area, as you say, there are very few charities that cater for this type of need.
I think we're the only charity providing clinical psychologists for children with cancer, actually. So and it is unique, and what we've learnt, or what I've learnt actually as a parent, obviously Tom had a very short illness, he was poorly for 7 months before we lost him, is how clinical psychologists can feed the information to the other therapists. That's why we've partnered up with two other charities. And they work uniquely so that they give the information to the other therapists, the child's fears, wishes, wants, understandings. And that allows the therapists to treat them and to provide therapy for them in exactly the right way, in a way that wasn't being done before. And also, the clinical psychologist does also support the family, so it will support the parents and the siblings through probably the most traumatic time of your life, a devastating time. So
I was about to say, actually, losing a child is probably possibly one of the worst things that could ever happen.
Well, it is, yes. And obviously, as parents of losing Tom, we understand that journey. And so we also make sure that our clinical psychologists support bereaved parents for up to a year after losing a child, if that is the outcome.
How did you cope in the early days of his passing?
I think, you know, somebody said to me, you won't remember the first 6 months. And I think I don't. You really go into automatic, you're very numb. And it's just an awful time. It's something that shouldn't happen. And it's a situation you shouldn't be in as a parent. So, you know, I'm glad to be in some way able to help other parents through that time, and the siblings, and the understanding of what's happened. And that goes for children who are being treated as well, actually. It's important for the siblings to understand what's going on, because it's massive disruption. You know, these children are in hospital for enormous periods of time, and life, you know, the parents have to hold down jobs. You know, you can imagine, it's devastating on an emotional level, and on a practical level, it's really, really complicated. So the clinical psychologist supports on lots of levels, actually.
So how many people have accessed your service for support over the years then?
We've got about 250 children who have been through the service in the 4 years that it's been running. You know, it's an accumulative figure, because when a child is diagnosed with a brain tumour, they, you know, in East Anglia, there's 32 children approximately diagnosed each year, and people will always say, well, that figure's very low. But it is an accumulative figure, because each child that's diagnosed is highly unlikely to walk away from that. So they'll either have learning difficulties or physical disabilities. And so they will need treatment immediately and ongoing, and probably for the rest of their lives. So that's what I mean by it being an accumulative figure. So the service that we started in Adam Brooks, which is called Brainbow, and that's our partnership with other charities, sees children from the point of diagnosis, and that early intervention really helps. And also what's great about it is it's been able to go back and help children who have been through the service, who've gone home, who understand normal, and their normal isn't really quite normal, you know, and they've still got goals that they want to reach. So they've been able to ask children to come back if they want to, and families, and support them going forward as well, which has been fantastic to see.
And I suppose you've touched upon it, early diagnosis with these sorts of conditions is very important,
essential.
Isn't it?
It's essential. There's a charity, I can't remember the name of the charity actually, there's a charity which has started flashcards rather like meningitis, giving, you know, all the points to look for in a child. I went to see a GP twice with Tom when he was poorly, and I was sent away and told that children get headaches, and if he was feeling better or was feeling still bad in a couple of weeks, to come back. He was critically ill and should have been, you know, in hospital straight away. So that was my journey, and hopefully that's changing now, because early diagnosis is very important, and early intervention in terms of the therapists that we provide is also critical. So from the point of diagnosis.
And do you have a team that supports you run the charity?
We're very small. We're a very young charity. We have three or four volunteers who come in. There's myself and another lady called Kirsty Keegan, and we work very closely together. And we have our trustees. So we're quite a small team, but we're always looking for helpers, and we're always looking for volunteers. So if anybody does want to come on board, please do get in touch with us, because, you know, we're getting busier and busier, and it's fantastic, because that just means we're raising more funds and helping more children.
And you've also got a new patron.
We're very excited about Helen Fernandez. She's a top neurosurgeon at Adam Brooks. She didn't operate on Tom, although she was operating. She does paediatric and adult tumours and spinal tumours. She was the first surgeon at Adam Brooks in 2000, first female surgeon rather, at Adam Brooks in 2002, and she was named one of four Adam Brooks experts in the Times Directory of Top Surgeons. So she's a phenomenal lady, a very clever lady, and we are incredibly proud to have her on board as our patron.
So as a patron, what will she do going forward? Will she help champion what you do as a charity?
She will, yes, and she will introduce us to people that we should be talking to, and possibly direct us, and, you know, in all sorts of ways, help us, help guide us. And, you know, she has a great profile, and one that we need, and one that's very, very relevant to our work. So yeah, we're very, very proud to have her on board.
So what sort of fundraising initiatives do you do to raise money for your charity?
Oh, everything, all sorts of things. We've got a couple of London Marathon runners this year, which is fantastic. We have lots of people come to us who do fundraising initiatives. Actually, we've got a young lady who's the daughter of a friend of mine, who is, she's 19, and she's cutting all her hair off in July, which I just think is incredible for a teenager. But ourselves, we do our own fundraisers. On the 11th of June, we've got our fun run. It's in its fourth year, and that's a fantastic event. It's a real family event down in Triplow. Look at our website for details. It is something that was initiated or instigated by some of Tom's friends, actually, and our committee, if you like, it's run by a lot of children, and we love that. So we really champion their work and their support. Actually, we love children getting involved in the charity. So that's a lovely event. It's a 5K cross-country run on the 11th of June. We've got a sporting dinner on the 23rd of June at Quay Mill with Jeff Miller, who's a speaker and ex-cricketer. And then on the 10th of September, we've got the Gog Magog Grand Fondo, which is a cycle ride. So if you're a cyclist into Lycra, that's your thing, then 20 miles or 40 miles is your choice. I haven't done it, and I have no intention of doing it. And then on the 8th of October, we've got a Trek for Tom, which is in its second year, and that goes from Saffron Walden back to Adam Brooks. I walked it last year. It's a long way. They are thinking of changing it this year, so they'll do a sort of half marathon and a marathon in terms of distance. And it's a lovely, lovely event. Again, lots of dog walkers. And so we do lots of events of our own, And then we have lots of people coming who support us anyway.
And you also have an online shop on your website as well, which I stumbled across, which I thought was interesting.
Have you bought one of our hoodies?
I might buy a hoodie or a T-shirt. I think the hoodie's about £20, aren't
they? That's right. Yeah,
and there's a whole host of other bits on there too.
There's some running shirts and wristbands. And I think it's something we'll expand actually, but we are tiny, so we cover an awful lot. The hoodies were a great success actually. Because you can get them kind of personalised with, you know, yourself supporting Tom's Trust written on the back. And the kids love that. That's something we need to sort of get back into again. And the running shirts, you can see from outer space because they are bright yellow. So there's a few bits and pieces on there, so have a look.
And I suppose
we love our merchandise.
And of course, with people fundraising for you, to actually wear some merchandise whilst doing that fundraising
We always encourage it. And I love our logo. It was done by my brother-in-law, and, you know, it's fun and it looks great. And, you know, it's all advertisers are work, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, because obviously I mentioned off air that I work for a charity myself, and making sure that you've got that logo in press photos is really, really important.
Yes, you're lucky not to see me in a Tom's Trust hoodie today because I wear it all the time.
So just tell us about the website and how people can get in contact with you.
The website is www.tomstrust.org.uk. Have a look on there at our events. Get in touch with us. All the links are there. If you want to help, as I say, we're always looking for volunteers. We've just got our own office. It's very exciting. So we've got our own office space. It's quite noisy. And we'd love to have anybody on board that has any free time in any way come and join us.
Would that be for like fundraising or administrative work? Anything?
Anything, really. You know, anything. We're very open. If somebody's got a couple of hours a week, they want to come and sit in our office, we've got the space. If somebody wants to get involved in one of our events, we're always, always happy to have an extra pair of hands. You know, there are lots of ways people can help us. And, you know, as I say, we're growing. And so, come on board if you have any free time.
And of course, all these details will be on the Charity of the Month page on the website when that gets updated on the 1st of April. And of course, there'll be a nice picture of yourself up there on the website as part of our podcast. Debs, thank you very much for coming
in
and telling us more about Tom's Trust, and congratulations for being Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month for April.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.